Shoes and Shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The Good News and Shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
In 2 Samuel 21, verse 15, David is better than 70 years old. And King David, he's still learning, as we all continue to learn in our lifetime. Even if you're 90 years old, you're always going to be learning that without Christ, you can do nothing. Now, that means, in John, because that's John 15, 4, but that doesn't mean that you can't tie your shoes without Jesus. Doesn't mean you can't get up and go to work, or you can't drive a car, because people do that in the world all the time, and they don't have Christ in their life. People do things. People can do things. When he said, without me, you can do nothing, he's talking in a specific area in terms of spiritual enterprise. In other words, you cannot save a soul without him. You could be a great marketeer, you could be a great salesperson, you could convince a person even to pray that prayer, but you won't get them saved without Christ. You cannot do it. You cannot build a church without Christ. You cannot minister to people without it. We're talking in terms of ministry and spiritual phenomena and spiritual enterprise. That's the stuff you can't do without him. You can live your life as a person without God and do all kinds of things. You can build a business. You can raise a family. Do all of that, but without Christ, you can't do it in a spiritual manner. You can't do it you cannot live the Christian way of life without Christ. You can pretend at it, and you can try to and you might fool some people with it, but you can't really live the Christian way of life without Christ. Without me, you can do nothing in terms of your spirituality and spiritual enterprise here on earth. Now, David often led his men into battle back in the Old Testament. We're dealing with the nation of Israel, and there was a lot of battles that took place and land grabs and all kinds of stuff. But he led his men into battle and watched as the Lord brought them victory after victory many, many times. Victory was brought to David because he prayed, because he prepared himself before the Lord before he went into battle. Without me, you can do nothing. I'm going to God first. This is a spiritual battle as much as it is a physical battle. Many times he was way outnumbered and so forth by the enemy. And so in order to gain a victory, it would have to be a spiritual victory, which means without God, I can't do this. And so he would pray, and he would go to God, and he would entreat the Lord concerning the coming battle and in order to defend the country of Israel. David always petitioned God before the battles. But this time in 21, beginning in verse 15, he went out with a sense of self-confidence because he had seen so many victories in the past. He had gone through victory after victory that God had given him. And he was becoming very confident in his ability to be able to do this. And so for this one time, that we know of here, that he did not, the Bible doesn't tell us that he prepared himself before the Lord first, but just says he went out. And so in 2 Samuel 21, 15, we have this. The verse, when the Philistines were at war again with Israel. So it's the Philistines at war with Israel. David and his servants with him went down and fought against the Philistines, and David grew weak, faint, tired. So throughout his life, God had taught David to always rely upon him, to always go to him first, to always entreat him before any battle or enterprise would come into his life that required God. And David wrote himself in Psalm 102:23. He said that throughout my life, God weakened my strength as I went on the road of life. God weakened me. In the way means the road of life, the details of life, everything that I did in my life. All along the way, God had a plan to continue to weaken my strength. The purpose of that is, knowing that I'm weak, I will be more inclined to depend upon God. So he shortened my days, he weakened my strength, and David needed always, as you and I need to be always, reminded of that we are weak and he is strong, that we cannot do it without him, that when it comes to doing anything in the realm of spiritual things, we cannot handle any of it without God. The flesh profits nothing in Romans 8:8. Only the Spirit can produce anything. Jacob, back in the book of Genesis, had to learn this. Jacob was a very self-sufficient rascal. And God had to teach him along the way that he was weak. And so in Genesis 32, we find that Jacob wrestling with somebody in a cave, and that someone turns out to be the Lord Jesus Christ, pre-existing Christ, and he touches his thigh, his hip, and Jacob has a limp the rest of his life to remind him of his own personal weakness. Even Samson, who's the strongest guy in the Old Testament, physically strong, he's the strongest physical person in the Old Testament, and he had the wrong confession. The thing that brought Samson down was a wrong confession. Samson said, "My strength is in my hair." And really, his strength wasn't in his hair. His strength is in the Lord, just like you. His strength wasn't in his hair. His hair simply represented Numbers chapter 6, which is the Nazarite vow. You've heard of that before? The individuals in Israel would take a Nazarite vow, and that vow was that I'm going to live my life without self-interest. My interests will be all of God's. Everything I do will be for the Lord. I'm going to live my life, consecrate my life, dedicate my life to God. I'm taking a Nazarite vow. Part of that vow was not to have a razor touch your hair, to grow out your hair, and also not to touch strong drink, in case you were wondering. But anyways, that's a very, very much symbol. That's very much like discipleship in the New Testament. A disciple says, "My life's not my own. I'm going to live for Christ. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm taking up a cross, which is the death of my desires and the things that I want, things that I want to do, and things, places that I want to go. That's all dead to me. Whatever God wants is what I want. And I'm trusting God will have a better plan for my life than I have." And so that's like discipleship in the New Testament, the Nazarite vow in the Old Testament. Samson had that. But Samson said, "My strength is in my commitment to him." Because that represents his hair. His hair represented his commitment, his vow that he took to God. My strength is in my vow to God. Is that my strength today? Is my strength in my vow to him, or is it in him to me? It's that it's in him to me. My strength is in Christ. He will never leave me or forsake me. He will never let me go. I'm in his hand. I am kept by the power of God unto salvation. The commitment is his to me. That's the reason I stand. Samson said the wrong thing. He said, no. My commitment is in my strength is in my commitment to God. And so what's her name comes along and cuts off his commitment very easily. And he realizes through a number of trials here that it's God who is his strength, not his hair. Hair never, no scientific research has ever discovered hair brings strength. Otherwise, the bald people around here would be pretty weak. Paul had a thorn in his flesh, didn't he? Second Corinthians 12:9. He had a thorn. He prayed that he would be delivered from the thorn. God said, nope, you keep it. And you rely upon my grace. You rely upon me. Everything has to do with us learning through life to rely upon him. The nature of man is to become self-confident. The world tries to teach you to be self-confident. Or used to. Now we're in socialism, so confident in the government. But whenever self-sufficiency gets involved, God resists. It quenches the spirit. 1 Peter 5:5 says God resists the proud, self-confident, and gives grace to the humble. So self-confidence is not a winner with God. Trusting, relying, faith is a winner with God. Understanding that without him I can do nothing in terms of spiritual enterprise, and with him I can do all things through Christ. So many feel the need to be strong as a Christian when God is actually looking for the weak. When I was under legalism, and every week the preacher would tell me another thing I had to do or another thing I had to stop doing, and so I had 52 things a year either to do or not to do, I felt I needed to be strong to do that. I mean, if I'm going to have 25 things to do and 25 things I have to stop doing, I'm going to have to be pretty strong in order to do that. And I didn't have that kind of strength. I had no self-confidence. I had no self-discipline. Very, very little. I was a product of the 60s. Back in the 60s, if it feels good, you do it. But there was no self-confidence, no restraints, no anything. And so legalism demands us to be strong. The law demands that you be strong. That's not so under grace. Under grace, he wants us to be weak so he can be our strength. Under grace, he wants to do it through us, for us, and to us, and doesn't want man to get any of the glory for it. Not of works, lest any of us should boast. He wants to do it all, and that requires a person who is so weak that they don't take the next step without looking to God first. That they're always, they don't speak a word from the Bible. They don't minister or try to counsel anybody. They don't do anything in terms of spiritual enterprise that without going to God first, because they're weak. They don't have to be told to do it. They know to do it because they're weak, and they know they're weak. They've learned it along life's way. God's taught them not to rely upon their own strength. And when you're weak, in Romans 7, for example, under legalism, under the law, when you're weak and you can't perform and you can't do what the law says, you can't give up the things the preacher says to give up, and you can't do the things he says you have to do, and you find yourself very, very weak and frustrated sitting in the congregation. It's like in Romans 7, Paul gave us this illustration. He says, the woman who has a husband is dominant.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993. Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
Safety for your home and family. Now that's important to you. And Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, can help. With security, video surveillance,